Isn't it June 26, 1991, and Pam Anderson is here. And Pam, what is it that you're going to...
Well, I'm going to tell you about the very inspiring and marvelous honorary induction weekend and aquatic extravaganza of May 9 through 11, 1991, where they inducted Uncle Dad Center in the pioneer category into the International Swimming Hall of Fame. And it was extremely exciting for me to be there because I accepted for him. And it was a weekend of, they put on in their program, which I'm looking at here, it's quite extensive. They started on Thursday and they had a women's 1 meter springboard event. They had a men's 10 meter platform event. Then they got into the next day, the diving, with all of these kids were just outstanding Olympic performers as well as the national championship swimmers.
Good.
And so they were putting on this meet as all of the induction was going in. And the first night was the pioneer induction, where they were done in the museum itself. And the International Swimming Hall of Fame is expanding quite rapidly and very nicely. You walk in and you see a life-sized picture of Uncle Dad and Johnny Weissmuller standing next to each other. And then you look around the walls of all the trophies and the various memorabilia from the former Olympics and past champions. And that's where they had the induction for him that pioneer night. And one of the nice highlights of that was, after I had accepted for him, my two brothers were there, Leif and Alan. There was a man that stood up and was introduced as Harry Glancy. And Harry Glancy said that he would like to present Dad Center's niece with clippings from, Xerox clippings from the Japan Times and the other Japanese, Hoshi Shimbun, from 1927, where he, Harry Glancy himself, was the captain of the team that Dad Center took to Japan.
Great.
And this man's wife was the first lady of any country to perform in Japan. She was a swimmer also. And he had stayed here in Hawaii and admired Uncle Dad very much, and it was just, he's 87 himself. So that was one of the great highlights. The next evening, as they did the induction, they had a large screen, TV screen, and they did a video of each one of the athletes. So that you saw their history, saw the pictures of them, and then the athlete himself, if he were there, or she was there, stood up and gave their own memories and talks on their, how they became the successes that they were. And the next night was the general night induction of the rest of the honorees, and Dick Cleveland, who I think years ago was a member of the Outrigger, but he lives in Maui now. They went in again, and they all, again, he met people that were in the pioneer induction. They were people that were, one lady was 87 years old, and she was from Argentina.
Wonderful.
And she was just a marvelous person. She got up and gave a speech about how she had trained very hard to be what she was. June Taylor, the pioneer synchronized swimmer, she was inducted in Uncle Dad's category. And the diving water polo people, all those, all people with water sports that would make a name in the International Swimming Hall of Fame. And I understand next year they're talking about getting into surfing. Tom Blake, I think they're considering about inducting.
They should.
So it was an extremely, one of those things where it's very chicken skin while you're there.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you try to put it into perspective, And you think about these things happening 70 years ago, and it becomes more and more historic and you get more feeling for it as time goes by.
Approximately how many people are in the Hall of Fame now?
Well, there's several thousand. We have a list of just the ones that were inducted this time. There were 30 of them. Mm-hmm. So each year, it goes back to 1965 mm-hmm. through 1991, and you just can see where there's quite a list of maybe 20 or 30 of each one. And this year, there was only
1, 2, 3, 4.
In the other category, the pioneers are the ones before 1928.
Oh, I see.
And then the other athletes, swimmers and divers and coaches and whatnot are after 1928. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. So it's something that maybe the outreader should sort of somehow really have a little closer touch with, and they are very pleased that I was there and wrote a letter to Robert Strauss, which I thought was really nice of him.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So we will be getting a video, which the club may want to look at. They show that particular event.
We might want a copy in the historical files.
I think it would be marvelous to have it.
Matter of fact, you could keep in touch with him for the operator too, couldn't you?
Sure. Yeah, I think we'll do that. I'm going to write to Bob Dunkel, who is there. For a curator, very nice fellow, and Len guy. They're all ages, and the directors and whatnot, they're, and all from all walks of life. There are some of them are presidents of steel companies now, and fabulously interesting people. Mm-hmm. And here they were, you know, Olympic athletes, and now they've gone on to great things, and they all credit, most of them, their families, mm-hmm. their mother and father, mm-hmm. and which I found just, you know, really great. I think it just was a very inspiring thing for all of us. My brother Lee, who was a diver, couldn't get over watching these kids training for the, they were doing the practice dives off the platform. And they, you know, they go out of the sea.
Well, they do some of the funniest things now.
They'll let them get out of the way and the next one comes down. You know, one after another. And it was quite a weekend. They do a fabulous job.
Well, are people nominated by someone to be there and then a board or
they are.
Select?
Uh-huh. And I think if there were people, if we wanted to nominate people from here, I think Alan Stack has been sort of involved in that to some extent here. Mm-hmm. He was inducted at one point in time. Mm-hmm. And so I think you can always write to them with a name. Mm-hmm. But I could see where I think possibly canoeing at some point may even be included.
I would think so. Sure. Why not?
That's their
canoe, of course.
They're expanding their library there. That's going to be the next thing they want to do. And it's right in Fort Lauderdale. Beautiful big swimming pool. Mm-hmm. And they had many events there during the year. I think the 1991, I think, events go on for quite some through every month. There's something going on there. But this, the particular athletes this time were from Japan, Canada. There was a diver from Russia. Harry Holliday, who I remember swimming here in the days of Dick Cleve when he was inducted. There was another fellow from Felipe Munoz, who from Argentina, who was, I guess, more recent in the 50s. He was quite a famous swimmer. He was inducted, and he couldn't come because he's running for politics. So somebody came for him. I think that's
are there any Japanese members of the Hall of Fame?
In this particular group of pioneers, there was Katsuo Takahashi, who was a Japan swimmer. He got in. And in the main other category that Dick Cleveland was in, they had a girl who was, I think, let's see, what was her name now? I think I have her name in front of me, but Satoko Tanaka. She was a swimming diver.
Mm-hmm.
But this program is quite good because they give all of the histories of each one of the athletes.
Great.
And you can see that the board of trustees are tremendous. Board of trustees and the directors are incredible.
Yeah.
From all over the world.
Gee, there's about 50 people.
So it's a... He was there. He gave an honorary award to, it was a fellow by the name of, see, they had Friends of Aquatics. They've got all sorts of videos you can get I think maybe I don't know all of that real close here. I think everybody probably wants to come in maybe there.
Well, any time you're...
Yeah, why don't we? I'd like to go about desert.
All right. Okay, Pam. Thank you. I'll pull this up.
And the place was jammed, and Brad Sutter was the principal speaker, and he got up and he was telling everyone in detail about Duke and his whole history and how he had come to be where he was. And then he said that, of course, Duke, I want you to know that you wouldn't be any place except for those size 11 feet or whatever they were. And he said, and furthermore, I want you to remember that this little thing over here, George Kuna, with his size sixes, was always nipping with your heels.
Yeah.
And that's why you broke all those records. Dude, I'm so sorry you talked to my uncle for a year. Apparently it brought the house down. That's my story.
Well, before we go any further, what's your relationship to Sonny Kuna?
As I am told by Mama Craw, all right, again, my great-grandparents came here in 1861 or two as lay missionaries of the Catholic Church. At some point along the way, then my grandfather was born here. He, at some point along the way, took a ship jumper in, okay? Then he took off from the ship. Put him, fed him, kept him, and gave him a stake and our name. That's Kuna. That family.
You mean that Sonny Kuna who went to Yale and wrote the Yale Boomer song?
That's the one. And now I live in a house next to one that he built. I mean, that's what Mama Craft told me. And that's all I know.
I've always wondered what the connection was.
I have always wondered, and I've always been totally confused because my grandmother's maiden name was Kuna, born of this couple. But then she married some guy off the ship named Kuna. I mean, you know, all these Kunas were. But that's the best I know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the other reason for Irma's is that she would like to be reinstated into the outrigger. And at one point, the records were lost and have not been found, so it's hard to establish the membership. So if anyone here possibly knows about her being a member,
I was an absolutely unoutstanding member. I did nothing but come here and use the facilities on weekends. My parents, I remember, put me in as a junior because I would walk from Wilmina Rise to the beach on weekends, and they didn't want me wandering around the beach alone. So I would come into the outrigger and use the lockers and everything. I joined nothing. I didn't paddle and do anything. I was a slut, and I was afraid of the kids. I remember I always wanted to play volleyball, but I was afraid for some reason. And the most outstanding thing that happened to me was to step on fun out front. Come in, and some nice member, I remember, calling my parents, but I simply don't remember enjoying activities here. That's my problem. And then I lived away, of course, for years. My mother, I remember, as a senior, wanted me to keep the membership. She wanted paperwork. I, oh, no, I was going away to school. Need it anymore. But she was this hot eye, this other cougar.
Yeah. She belonged to the cougar.
That's correct. That family. Pardon? Oh, boy, I remember.
Well, what about May Kuno, whose pictures the trust company had?
Same.
All that. I always thought May was related.
Right, all that family. And, I've tried very hard to think of people, but I didn't socialize here, is what I'm saying. It was strictly a place to keep me out of trouble in my parents' eyes. And off the beach, if I got tired, I could call them, and I could wait here at the outrigger for them to come and get me. So now I'm home, and I don't buy green bananas anymore. The time is getting short, and I would like to get back in. If Wilbur were here, I'd be all right, or Howdy Goss. But those are the only people I can think of.
Now, what year?
This would have been when I was about 10, so about
1933, 1934 in there. I don't think that the fact you were a member of the location, if you're a member now, I don't think it would make it any saving in, thanks, if you just apply five for membership, you know, get somebody's sponsor, but I think about the only thing you can do to, because I think back, you know, the time period, I think you have to make up the difference in the things and probably cost more and everything else to just reapply.
It's not the cost, it's going, it's the time.
Yeah.
It's
only, good, yeah, we were talking somebody about the
to need a sponsor.
So that's how you suggest we proceed.
Pardon?
Okay. Have you talked to any missionaries?
No, I have not.
Well,
I just started this going, you know. I'm a classmate of Klein's, and I had talked to him about it, but he joined long after I had gone.
Well, they might remember you. I mean, if you just talked to admission and helped one of the girls set up an appointment for you. And I think the word of someone like that remembered that you.
I could certainly try.
Well, could have. That's what I would do.
There are
records
Vermont Keith Steiner, and I think from the few people that I've sponsored, you got in here, you'd have no problems.
No, okay.
And I don't think that, you know, determinative would be, well, one time I was a member.
Okay.
60 years ago.
But I think.
I just don't think that that would weigh. I think the other associations of your family and so forth would weigh a lot more. That's the way I think I would look at it.
The waiting list is, I could wait a full year.
Would you?
And I have been members I've grown up. And they said people paid the dues between now and then and so forth, so I was the alternative, but I didn't rejoin until 74, a lot of time in between. It was a full year, and I was sponsored by Fine Man and Lloyd Russell. I couldn't have found any better recommendations.
Yeah, the only thing about the long-distance membership would be if you were getting to the point where you need want to be a senior member, say a 25-year total. You see, that's important, that, to be able to pick up some time in the past when you were a member, and that applies to the 25 years that you get. But that's the only thing I know of.
I was reinstated, and I didn't have to have sponsors or anything.
No,
they could find me right.
But how long were you out?
I think from maybe the mid-50s to the mid-70s.
Yeah.
Quite a while.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to wait.
Well, that's
the only advantage to someone else. The money might be equal.
We're getting pretty fast right now. So
are they?
That's right.
Well, I don't know. I asked. I heard it was two or three years.
They might have an exception.
Right.
And she was a member and she can act in it.
All right, so.
You do what you say, I don't.
Oh, okay.
You're so kind to discuss this in advance, I really appreciate it. So I should then just go to admissions and tell them what happened and see what happens. Patty.
Yeah.
All right, she's the one, the key one, huh?
Right.
Right, and I'll talk to Scott.
Okay.
Then I'll do it. So then the chief clerk will.
Okay, I appreciate it very much. I will get this cup, shine it up, and get it back to you all.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks.
How's it going?
Carol. Revving.
Bye-bye.
So really.
Bye-bye.
I work with her, and I like it. Here's you.
Oh.
Very closely. Several months.
All righty, well, let's see, thank you, and now, Pam, because.
I'll do mine as quickly as I can, so I know you've got an agenda here, you all want to get on with everything, but. I just want to congratulate Dean Hall on the marvelous display she put in the upstairs entrance there. I just think it's fabulous. So well done. And just looking at that with pretty much give you an idea of what it was like to be there at the, in Fort Lauderdale with my two brothers were with me. It was a weekend of what they call an honorary induction and aquatic extravaganza, where they had 3 days of swimming, diving competition that was sponsored by Alamo and a few other American Airlines and a few others. And that in itself was very inspiring because you saw the Olympic athletes and the national champions all going through their practice dives and training before the meet and as the meet was going on, and seeing these kids come off the platforms and do their things, and it was just incredible. The actual pioneer induction, of which Uncle Dad's was the part, was the first night, and it was quite a thing to walk into their museum where it was held and see a picture of Duke and Johnny Weissmuller, life-size, on a wood backing. And then you look around at something like this where there are trophies and there are pictures of people and all kinds of memorabilia. And after they had inducted him, and I had just sat down, and a man got up, and he said he wanted to present Godsender's niece with clippings of the 1927, which is up there in the cabinet, Japan Times and Hoshi Shimbun, which has the picture of the team that Uncle Dad took to Japan. And this fellow was the captain of the team. So he's 87 years old, and it was just great. We kind of fell on each other. And he said he had stayed here with Uncle Dad and loved him. And his wife was the first lady athlete of any country to perform in Japan on this same team. We live in Florida, and so he gave me this. And I don't know which club would like to have a copy of it. We can do something like that later on. So they showed up, to begin with, they showed up at a big oversized TV screen, and on each induction they showed the athlete the history as much as they could in picture form on the video, and then they gave the presentation. So it was really an outstanding kind of a thing to do, and they appreciated the fact that everybody that was there, some of the people that, of course, had passed on, so they were relatives or whatever. And they appreciated everybody being there, and they were just as cordial and as nice as they could possibly be, and I think they might like to have a continuing, maybe, relationship with the Outrigger Canoe Club, because we've been such a part of their history. So maybe we could send them a picture of the cabinet display, and it might be kind of nice to, if we can find someone with a camera that will get the job done.
Nothing gets the local papers about Dick Sinkin.
That was previous to that.
There was a little item, cut that out for Quinn Hall. It was McQuinn, but there was nothing at the time of the award. No, and actually, Pam gave me information. I took it down to the advertiser, so they did run the story about that, but yeah. I was surprised. I kept looking for something about Dick, and there was nothing.
I kept telling, Fred Lewis called me there in Florida on two days, mm-hmm. and I kept telling him that Dick was going in the next night, and he said, oh, we've already done an article on him. And he ran it, and I remember seeing something that was in the sports page.
Not so much.
But it wasn't very big.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised, because when he was inducted, he was... He's a very good speaker to begin with, and he, as Keith probably would remember, Spoopy, they had an even bigger screen that night, and each athlete again was introduced, and they got up to the podium, and Dick got up, and he was, as a lot of the athletes did, they gave credit to their success and in life to their parents for having taken the time to drive them to and from the pools and the training and all of that. He gave a marvelous speech. It was a very, very inspirational type of thing to see and be a part of.
Had he done any swimming here in Honolulu particularly, aside from school? Or did he make his records in college?
He made his records in the 1971 Pan American Games and the... See, he was 100 meter, and he was in one relay, 8 AAU National Championships, 1951 Pan Am Games, and also he set 4 NCAA titles, 3 Big Ten conference titles, and was an AAU first team All-American 6 times. At the first Pan Am Games held in Argentina in 51, he won 3 gold medals in the 100 meter free, and the 400 freestyle and the medley relays. In the 1950 USA-Japan dual meet in Osaka, he was a 5-time gold medal winner.
Who was he swimming for?
He went to Ohio State. And,
he was over Ohio.
Yeah, he trained under Mike Pepe, and he also, but Sakamoto was the one that got him on the weights. And he was the first
coach.
No, it was here. At the U, and he was the first guy that to really train with weights. And then after that, I guess a lot of the training went to that type of.
Could you take that one? Let's see, Leanne, about the funnel.
Yeah,
we added the funnel for it, and so
I will.
Get both of them.
Yeah, I will get it in.
Because all she has is that little thing
that I got there. He was an awfully fast guy. They don't have his time in here, but he was very, very fast. But it was, you saw athletes from all countries. There was Japan there represented, Argentina, the diver from Russia, Harry Holliday, who I remember seeing swim here in the natatorium. He's got records that were incredible. He was inducted. He was there. The great water polo coach, Monty Mitzkowski, he was also inducted. And we were just talking about Felipe Munoz, who was, I remember seeing how great he was. He was from Mexico, and the first Mexican guy to win their first Olympic gold medal. They gave these pictures, looking at these videos of all these people, was so fabulous. And you see them standing there, and they go through their histories a little bit, and it was just great. Marvelous, marvelous place.
Just for the record, I'd like to ask if you can have a copy of the video.
I'm going to call them again. They were to have said it, and I'm sure they're getting them all put together, probably.
Yeah, so really nice.
I'll get that. So I thank you for... all and I'll step out and get it. Okay.
All right.
trying to sign.
I'm sorry.
Very interesting. See you. Bye-bye. I was at the last meeting and I didn't see anything in your minutes about it, but you told me how that they told you they would not hang Dan's picture in the clubhouse. But it wasn't discussed at the historic meeting.
No.
I think the committee should know it and I think they should protest.
Oh, painting of Dad that simply
display
cabinet. We wanted to display it somewhere on the front premises. And it was presented to boys from the back school, buildings around, and buildings around the record.
What place?
Get it in, fit in with the
That's it. I grew up with Dad's energy.
You're right. Okay, well, I will submit it again. This is a new building to bounce. This last year's coming.
What if we find a spot?